We have public comment. We have speakers for today and speakers for tomorrow. We have at least five or six today who are in the audience now. Each has a three-minute limit to be kept by Justice Miller. We'll call then our first person up for public comment, Mr. Brandon Scoville, Northern California representative for the California Federation of Interpreters. Welcome.
Thank you, Chief Justice and members of the Judicial Council. My name is Brandon Scoville. I'm from the California Federation of Interpreters. Normally, I would say that I represent the court interpreter employees throughout California, but as you can see, they're here representing themselves. Today, I would like to focus on this report called Enhancing Language Access Services for LEP Court Users. It will be presented to this council tomorrow to be adopted. I acknowledge the best intentions of the AOC staff and participants from Hastings College of Law and mean no disrespect, but we are asking that the Judicial Council not adopt this report as it presents incomplete and inaccurate information. In the short time we've had to review it, we found many examples of overgeneralizations and information that creates a false impression of what is actually happening in the courts. We intend to prepare a detailed written response to the report so you can consider it and its usefulness. The report cites the court's language access plans prepared with the advice and assistance of the AOC as an accomplishment, but fails to note that virtually all of these plans include a policy that denies people interpreters in civil cases, contrary to the Department of Justice's Title VI standards. On page 18, the report says that for Spanish, 95% of the surveyed courts are assigning interpreters in non-mandated proceedings. But then on page 46, it says it's 70%. Whichever one it is, either way, we know that many courts do provide interpreters in civil proceedings to varying degrees, and we are glad to see that acknowledged. But what is missing from the report is any acknowledgement that actual practices and policies are unclear and inconsistent from court to court, and that the formal policy, as far as we can tell, of the AOC is to deny access. Let me state it very clearly. The courts do not provide consistent access to all court users as is required under Title VI, and many courts are actively preventing interpreters who are ready and willing to assist in civil courts from interpreting. Meanwhile, non-interpreters are being called upon to interpret who are unable to provide the service correctly and accurately.
30 seconds more, sir. Thanks.
The policy known as incidental use, which provides interpreters to civil courts if they've already been hired for criminal and are otherwise available, is touted as a positive policy, but it's creating more problems than it's solving. Judges in civil courtrooms can never know when an interpreter will be available, and so they can't schedule around it. The glaring omission from the report is the enormous progress that California has made over the last decade in creating a larger and more reliable supply of competent interpreters throughout the court system, in large part because of the Court Interpreter Act, which has also led to significant reduced use of non-certified interpreters and created the cross-assignment system that has improved access to the court system.
Time's up. Sorry.
I would like to go into more detail about the report, but obviously my time has been cut off. In closing, I would ask the Judicial Council to not adopt the report. An analysis is needed, but it should be done by a committee of people who understand language access, and it should involve the people who are actually providing the service, our court interpreters and bilingual staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scoville. And for counsel's information, the report Mr. Scoville is referring to is Info 3 on the last page of your pink sheet. No action will be required by counsel. It's not being accepted by counsel. This is a study that was funded by the State Justice Institute from a grant for the AOC to study language access. And so Mr. Scoville will be interested in seeing your response to the study. Thank you. Margot Seeley, Certified Court Interpreter and Intermittent Pro Tem Employee of Alameda County. Welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the Judicial Council and Chief Justice, My name is Margot. I am a recently hired court interpreter. I work for the Alameda County Superior Court. I attended the School of Translation and Interpretation at the Monterey Institute of International Studies, and I hold a master's degree in conference interpretation. In all, it took me about 7 years, countless hours of study, and more than $90,000 to be able to say that. But I want to talk about how the changes being proposed in our contract negotiations are creating a very demoralizing sense of uncertainty for new interpreters entering the job market in California. Although competent interpreters provide the key to accessing fundamental and constitutional rights for linguistic minorities, I've seen in my time working as an interpreter that we're still not respected and valued as a critical link to due process. 30 years ago, before court interpreting was a recognized profession, there were no standards by which to measure the accuracy of an interpretation. The interpreters in life and death cases were janitors, audience members, or grandkids. And in the late 70s, the first certification exam was introduced. It set the first standards for court interpreters. In the late 80s and early 90s, statutes were passed and exam standards were raised in response to extensive media attention exposing serious problems with the use of poorly qualified interpreters. It wasn't until 2005, however, that full-time and part-time positions were widely available in the courts after a 10-year struggle by interpreters to be recognized as employees. Now, in 2013, a mere 8 years after court interpreters finally won the right to be considered employees, we are facing changes that could effectively deteriorate working conditions and return us to contingent labor status. Not because we lack professionally trained and highly capable interpreters, but because the courts are searching for cheaper and easier ways to cover cases with interpreter needs. Something that, because we are on the ground doing the work, we know cannot be carried out unless we severely compromise quality. Without stable jobs and a career path that has promotional opportunities, the courts will not attract the most highly qualified individuals to the profession. As it becomes impossible to live off what we earn interpreting for the courts, we will have to look elsewhere for employment. What I currently earn in my as-needed position with the courts does not allow me to successfully repay my student loans, loans that I incurred in the pursuit of higher education so that I could be an asset to a profession where the stakes are high.
30
and
seconds.
Where interpreting at a very high level can never be overstated. It's more important than ever in the current fiscal climate, that courts function as effectively and efficiently as possible. Educated, trained, and experienced interpreters make all the difference in achieving that in cases that involve non-English speakers. In California, we have more than 900 professionally trained staff interpreters who are dedicated to serving the courts and providing due process under the law to all non-English speaking participants in the judicial system. I ask that we please do not turn back the clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seeley. Is Eric Raphael Bishop present?
Chief Justice and honorable members of the council, my name is Eric Bishop, and I'm the director of the Spanish-English Interpretation Program here at San Francisco State University Extension, where I also teach, and I have been a certified interpreter working for the San Francisco Superior Court for the last 23 years. My students, who are aspiring interpreters, often express their desire to help their communities, just like I did many years ago. Language access for LEP communities is still one of the principal reasons why interpreters are in this line of work. And my students specifically seek to provide language access in the court system of California. Today, interpreters have more access to training programs than ever before. Interpreting programs like mine all over California have trained extremely competent interpreters, many of whom now work for courts all over California. As any of my students can tell you, this was not an easy road. Of all the prospective bilingual students who take my program's entrance exam, only 5% are successful at meeting the program's requirements, finishing the coursework, and becoming court certified. After years of struggle working regularly for the courts without any benefits or protections, an employment system was finally established in California courts for interpreters. It has been a long and fluid process and one that has benefited interpreters, the courts, and most of all, Californians who require competent interpreting services to access the courts. And these are excellent developments in the profession and developments that California courts and the AOC can build upon. However, I am deeply concerned that competent interpreters and meaningful access to justice is not what the California courts and the AOC focus on today. Instead, they seem to be bent on undermining the employment system, devaluing the profession, and minimizing the skills necessary to provide meaningful access to justice. At a time when California's language access programs are under scrutiny by the Department of Justice, California finds itself in a position to expand language access because it has created an employment system for interpreters. But instead, the AOC and the court seek to return us and future interpreters to contingent labor by cutting full-time work and implementing VRI.
30 seconds.
So I am concerned for my students who work so hard to acquire the necessary skill set for this work and continue to work tirelessly to hone these skills. But most of all, I am concerned for the communities my students and I aim to serve. I am concerned for 10 million Californians who require meaningful language access to justice. It's time that California courts value this highly skilled group of professionals who are so needed to serve California. A true career path is necessary to recruit and retain these young professionals.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Kate Bancroft, Court Interpreter, Superior Court of California, County of Contra Costa.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice and honorable members of the council. I'm Kate Bancroft, full-time staff interpreter in Contra Costa. I've been interpreting for the courts for 23 years, 15 years as a contingent worker, a so-called contractor, and finally recognized with a stable job, rights, and benefits 8 years ago, thanks to the Court Interpreter Act. Like all my colleagues, I am deeply troubled by proposed changes in our pay and conditions that would undermine the employment system and shrink access to competent interpreters. Two regions made up of many courts in Northern California are proposing to send full-time interpreters home without pay on any day and without notice, thereby cutting our pay up to 25%, increasing health premiums, and reducing retirement credit and accruals. I find this outrageous. Would this ever be suggested for judges, bailiffs, or other employee groups who might not be actively working at any given time? The interpreter budget has not been cut, so why are we singled out for this special treatment? With stagnant wages and the increasing cost of living, we've already seen a 15% reduction in our real income over 10 years. What a slap in the face to trained and skilled interpreters. And what is worse, what a blow to access for limited English defendants, victims, witnesses, and other litigants. Are the courts giving lip service to access while in fact they are undermining it? Our proposals to expand language access by interpreting in all civil cases and at self-help centers have been rejected by the regions, who are saying the Judicial Council reimbursement policies won't allow it. Daily, parties in civil cases are denied access to our services, even in case types we've covered in the past, and even when we are present and already being paid. Who is responsible for this shocking travesty? For the courts to claim that lack of funding is the only obstacle to expanding language access into civil matters is disingenuous in view of the current $10 million reserve in the interpreter budget. In past years, close to $30 million in interpreter funding has gone unspent, and under AOC management has then been used for other operations. I believe that this anti-access direction is not understood or supported by the judges who need interpreters in their courtrooms. Surely there's a direct connection between what is happening to us and to language access and action or inaction here at the Judicial Council and the AOC. The chief negotiator is paid by the AOC, an AOC lawyer and other AOC representatives are at the bargaining table, but no one explains how it is that commitment to equal access for language minorities, so often touted, is served by policies and practices that actively deny it. Why is this happening when it is known that courts in California are already failing to meet federal civil rights standards for language access?
30
How can
seconds?
These regions work now to destroy the very jobs that have increased access to quality interpreter services? We're ready to expand our services to meet Department of Justice civil rights standards. Let's work together at all levels in the court system to improve language access, not undermine it. We have the expertise to help with that. Let's identify efficiencies and coordinate scheduling so staff interpreters can cover all civil cases, the only way to achieve meaningful access. California was once a leader in language access. If equal access and equal treatment under the law is truly the goal, it's time for the AOC and the regions to set a new course in their relationship with us, the interpreters.
Thank you, Ms. Bancroft. We'll hear from Angela Zadowski.
Good afternoon. My name is Angela Zawadzki, and I'm a state and federally certified interpreter with a PhD in comparative literature. I was the founder of the San Francisco State Legal Interpretation Certificate Program, and I'm currently faculty at Laney College in the Legal and Community Interpreting Program, which goes by the acronym LCI. I'm here to comment on the Enhancing Language Access Report and to clarify some inaccuracies with respect to the Laney LCI program and its association with the Superior Court of Alameda County. The court has played a very important advisory role in the 6 years since our program was initially developed. Nevertheless, the structure and curriculum for the program were created by faculty and supported by the administration at Laney. The curriculum has been revised and is currently undergoing a rigorous approval process by the state. Why is it important to point this out? Because the report presents this effort as an accomplishment of the court that other courts may replicate, with little recognition of the complexity and challenges of creating an accredited program truly capable of training interpreters at a level necessary to become a competent court interpreter. In my experience, courts tend to underestimate the skills and knowledge required for this job. It takes far more than a few trainings or courses and a little on-the-job experience to produce a court interpreter ready for the job market. The report does not fully reflect what is required to establish a viable academic program in this field. This brings me to my second point and final point. The report at page 63 mentions an internship program as another accomplishment from collaboration between the Alameda Court and Laney College. Some of our students were able to obtain internships in the self-help center a few years ago, but there is currently no internship program in place because the court's proposal does not recognize the necessary standards for quality training, oversight, and protection of LEP rights. The court was hoping to access volunteer interpreters who would work in small claims at no cost to the court and without proper supervision. The report promotes other practices that rely on volunteers and bilingual members of the public to achieve language access. I suggest to you that this approach is inadequate to meet the need for language access in a state with California's demographics. The Judicial Council recognizes the need to increase the supply of professional interpreters through education programs and to recruit individuals with adequate language proficiency.
30 seconds.
It seems counterproductive to, at the same time, reduce the pipeline of viable jobs by relying on volunteers and non-professional for this skilled and highly demanding work. I respectfully propose that these efforts be refocused on developing and enhancing career opportunities for the competent and professional interpreters that the state so desperately needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Zadowski. And next, I believe our last person to speak on this issue will be Ms. Fanny Suarez.
Good afternoon. As you said, my name is Fanny Suarez, and I am a state and federally certified interpreter. I have a master's degree in bilingual legal interpreting, and I've served as a consultant for the Judicial Council's Court Interpreter Advisory Panel. I'm here to talk to you about Video Remote Interpreting, or VRI. We're being asked to agree to VRI's use in our current contract talks. We're told that the AOC, and not the courts, will be making the decisions on how and where it will be used later. The problem is that this is being presented at our bargaining right now. And at the table, they can tell us nothing about what the plans for VRI's use for spoken language applications are. This issue has thrown a monkey wrench in our contract talks, and we're being asked to blindly agree and remove any obstacles to VRI from our contract. While VRI and other technologies that you have mentioned here today may have limited applications, and may be useful to the courts right now, they are not a panacea, and they are not the solution to expanding meaningful language access and ensuring due process and equal treatment under the law for linguistic minorities. Every study that looks at how effective and cost-efficient VRI is identifies serious problems and limitations. VRI is not appropriate, for example, for evidentiary proceedings or for testimony. VRI is 40% slower and requires that the consecutive mode of interpreting be used. This should be a serious concern in California, where thousands of cases are more efficient with on-site interpreters and are heard every day this way. With VRI, there's no human being present to assist the limited English proficient communities at points of contact with the court that occur more frequently than not before, during, and after their court appearances. On-site interpreters do a great deal of work off the record at various points and locations that are essential for the LEP person to have equal footing in the court process. Not surprisingly, corporations that make to stand millions on VRI equipment and services aggressively promote it as a way to save money and improve access. However, every serious and impartial study done on VRI clearly concludes that in-person interpretation is more effective and efficient, and VRI is appropriate only when an in-person interpreter cannot be used.
30 seconds.
Given these very real limitations, it looks like the AOC may be pursuing and prioritizing an expensive and poorly conceived and inadequately studied technology. Let's learn from the past. Let's look at the resources that you have before us. Competent live interpreters. We are willing and able to provide language access and to expand it to all courtrooms, civil and criminal alike. Let's appoint a task force to really include all stakeholders, including our representatives. And let's have a plan that looks at reasonable parameters for this use of technology. This is what we urge the Judicial Council to do, and this is what is necessary for California and the 10 million Americans and Californians that we serve in the court system today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Suarez. Thank you to all the speakers. I will also say that we have not received any written comments on this subject for today, although it sounds like some may be coming related to the study from Mr. Scoville. We'll take a short break, stand in recess for approximately 15 minutes.